All right, let's go ahead and get our Bibles out this morning. Turn to the book of Philippians. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Philippians and turn to chapter number 3. And we're going to begin reading this morning at verse number 12. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 12. Philippians chapter 3, and we'll begin reading this morning at verse number 12. The Bible says this, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Brother Steve Dowdy, would you pray for the message? And then you may be seated this morning. We'll get to preaching.
Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this time.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Yes. Amen. Yes. 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 Amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated. If you were here last Sunday morning, you remember that I preached a message entitled, The Better End. And I took my text, if you'll remember, from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, verse number 8, where the Bible tells us that the end of a thing is better than the beginning. And if you were here last Sunday morning, you realize that the main point of that message was that we as a church, or you as a child of God, we should have ended the year in better spiritual shape than when we began. It was also mentioned, if you were here for that sermon, that if we wanted to end this next year right for the Lord, then we needed to make sure that we begin the year right for the Lord. Get the foundation laid right, and then build the house. And if we look back and we said, you know what, I come to the end of the year 2015, and I was in worse shape spiritually at the end of 2015 than when I began. That's not what we want. There's a lot of things you and I can't control. We can't control what's going to happen in 2016 as far as our job, as far as our health, as far as our finances, as far as what's going to happen in this world, our government. That sure ain't in my control. I didn't vote for none of those cotton pickers that's up there. But I tell you what is in my control. It don't matter what is raging in this world. You ought to be in better shape spiritually by the end of next year than you are right now. We ought to be growing. Instead of going backwards. Some of you did grow. Some of you ended the year off better, in better shape for the Lord. Some of you is about in the same old pitiful shape you always been in. I'm not trying to be ugly. It's just the truth. And some of you worse. And what I want to encourage us to do is start it off right this morning. Excuse me. This is the first Sunday morning of the new year. And so since this is the first Sunday of the new year, I want to preach a message this morning entitled, A Better Beginning. We preached on the better end last Sunday, not the bitter end. The better end. And I want to preach on a better beginning. And this, listen, understand something. This message this morning is not to encourage you to make some kind of crazy New Year's resolutions that you're never going to keep. But this message, however, is going to be preached this morning to encourage us to be resolute to do right this year. And the passage we read this morning, I think it's a very fitting passage for the New Year's. For our New Year's message, When you read here, we saw where Paul made it clear to his letter to the Christians in Philippi that he had not attained. You and I haven't attained either. I know some of you may think you're perfect, but you're not. We have not arrived. We still got a ways to go. Amen. I still got a lot of things in my life that need to be fixed. You do too. And so we're all in the growing process. We want to be arrived. We want to attain until the King of Kings and Lord of Lords changes his vile body and gives us one fashion after he is.
Amen.
And until then, there'll always be something to improve. But he also made it clear in this passage that he was going to continue to keep striving ahead for the Lord Jesus Christ. He said that. We just read the text. Paul stated in verse number 14 that he was going to stay in the race. He was going to run hard toward the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And you and I ought to strive to move ahead for Christ and win the prize. It's amazing how we strive ahead in our life to win the prize that has to do with money, our social status, or moving on up. We're going to be like the Jefferson. We're going to move on up. I go by the gym, and listen, I'm not against it. You can look at my body and tell I need to make a resolution to get in the gym this year. I sure do. I need to make a resolution to back off from the table this year. But I see people, they're in that gym and they're working and working. They got a goal, man, I'm going to have some 20-inch guns and I'm going to have a waist about this little and I'm going to go on and do. Everybody's got goals and visions in their life, but nobody's got any spiritual goals or spiritual vision. Listen, if you're going to be resolute about something, if you're going to be resolute about changing something, you want to be resolute about changing your Christian walk for the Lord. It'll be better this year than it was last year. If we want it to be better this year than it was last year, there's some things we're going to need to do. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. We ought to be striving to move ahead. So let's see how we need to begin the race this morning so maybe we can finish it better than we did last year. And I'm just going to look at three things you find from this passage this morning that I believe will enable us and help us to get started off on the right foot spiritually. Can I say that again? We need to be more heavenly minded. We need to seek those things above, not things below. We need to set our affection on things above. We need to seek first the kingdom of God. Why is it that many pastors have to spend much of their time preaching and hammering and teaching and preaching and praying to try to convince their congregation that your number one motivation of betterment and doing better ought to be in their spiritual things? Nobody has to put a fire under you to want to make more money. Nobody has to put a fire under you to want to catch more fish or kill bigger deer or get better bargains. Whatever you ladies do. Nobody has to put a fire under you about that. But then I start talking about the most important thing there is, and some of you won't even look at me right now. Some of you are about half asleep because you don't care. You care about prospering on the earth, but you don't care about prospering in the kingdom of God. There's something very wrong with you this morning. You need help. Lots of it. If you listen to me, you can get some. Number one. Let's go over this. All these are found in verse, all my points are found in verse number 13. We'll go over these points. That'll be the message. Number one. You want a better beginning. You want to start this thing out right. You want to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ this year. Here we go. Forget the past. Number one, forget the past. Verse number 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Now you say, when you say forget the past, what are you talking about, preacher? Basically two things. You and I need to forget our failures, and we need to forget our successes. I'll tell you what I mean. First of all, you need to forget your failures. Listen, if you really blew it this last year, I mean, if you was a zero for God this last year, I mean, if you didn't do anything for Jesus Christ this last year, there ain't nothing you can do about it now. You know what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to get down on your knees and say, God, forgive me that I got sidetracked. God, forgive me that I didn't live for you this last year like I ought to. Put it under the blood and then forget it because God did. Listen, some people can get forgiveness of God, but they can't forgive themselves. And they get stuck in the past, and they're so stuck in the past, they can't do nothing right now. Let me tell you something, that's a little prideful of you to be that way. You think that you're humble because you won't forgive yourself. No, you're prideful. Let me tell you something, God's got a lot bigger standards, and God's a lot more holy than you are. So if God says the blood of His Son will cleanse you of anything in your past, and He'll put it out of His mind and won't even remember it, and you keep remembering it, you're trying to say your standard's a little bit higher than God's. And it's not. You're filthy compared to God. So if God washed you in the blood and He cleansed you of whatever it is you said or done, ever how evil or wicked it is, and He's forgiven you and He said He won't remember your sins anymore, you ought to forget it and go on. Don't let it cripple you. Don't keep thinking about, well, I did this and I said that and I messed up. Some people remember things they did 20 and 25. Listen, I could not pastor this church if I just dwelled on some of the things I said and done before I gave my life to the Lord and decided to serve Him. If I'm ashamed of it, but I'll put it under the blood. Now, every once in a while, somebody that knew me years ago, they'll make some crack about it, and they remember it. But I ain't worried about them. God don't remember it. Amen. And you know what? The ones that make the crack, they're still out in the world. They're still living for the devil. I ain't lived for the devil in 20-something years, but they just remember that. Yes. You can't worry about that. So, don't let the devil and don't let the brethren steal your joy by reminding you of your past. When you put it up under the blood and ask God to forgive you of all that junk, it's over. So listen, if you will confess that and get that right this morning, you can wipe your slate clean. You can say, but Brother Dennis, man, I was a zero last year for God. Have you asked God to forgive you right now? Maybe it'll just take a few minutes in your heart. Say, God, forgive me. I sure didn't walk with you like I should have last year. Be sincere about it. Put it under the blood and then forget it. It's in the past. You can't change anything about it. You can't go on. You have to deal with now. And then you need to forget your past victories and successes. You say, what do you mean? Well, let me just tell you this. You cannot live on yesterday's blessings, revival, and victories. I know a lot of people that do that. Oh, I remember 25 years ago when the Lord was still moving. And I remember when we first built this church and it had more people than it did then. Yeah, some of you was on more on fire for God back then than you are right now. Some of you was more eager about building the church up than you are right now. Some of you had Jesus Christ as first priority in your life and you don't right now. Amen. God ain't moved. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. I don't care if it's Laodicea. I don't care what's going on. If you want Him to move in your heart, if you want Him to move in your family, if we want Him to move in this church, He'll still do it. Amen. But don't worry about the victories you had yesterday and the blessings you had yesterday. And I served God more faithful last year than I ever have. Who cares? I don't mean you're going to serve Him this year. This is a new year. This is a new beginning. You can't kick back and retire on the Lord. Some people believe they can retire on the Lord. You don't retire on the Lord. Now, He may move you to different things. If the Lord don't come back, I may get old enough one day, if I live, where I can't pastor a church no more. I intend on going to a church and sitting up under another young pastor and amening him and encouraging him. I ain't quitting on God. Hey, man, I may be in a nursing home. I can't even go to church one day. I can pray for the preachers. I can be a good testimony to the nurses that come by and talk to me every day. You don't retire on God. You don't say, well, I taught Sunday school 25 years and I think I'm not going to teach it this year. I'm going to take a break. Let somebody else do it. Did God want you to do it this year? You don't take a break. You do it another year. Just because you served God yesterday, that has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with you serving Him today. And you can't change the past. And listen, you cannot live off the past. So the very first thing every one of us in here need to do this morning is forget everything that happened yesterday and beyond. And if there's any sin involved on your behalf, put it under the blood and forget it and walk in the cleansing blood that has the blood of Christ has cleansed you, and walk in that perfect fellowship that you can have with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then if you did good last year and the Lord blessed you and you walked with the Lord and you were a good church member and you were a good Christian and you grew and you did better, thank God for it. But it's not time to stop now. It's not time to quit now. And you forget that because that don't mean you're going to do right now. Listen, I'll say this and move on to my second point. Every year that I've pastored a church, when I get to this time of the year, I promise you, I know this. I hope I'm wrong. I hope somebody in this church can come up to me and say, this time next year, and say, Brother Dennis, see that? You preach that? Look around. You were totally wrong. I hope so. Sometimes I want to be wrong. Sometimes I beg that I'm wrong. But I'm not going to be wrong, unfortunately. There's somebody in here right here today, right now. When we get to this time next year, if the Lord hadn't returned, you're not going to be in this church. You're not going to be in no church. You're going to be backslid on God. You ain't no prophet. You can't see the future. Help yourself. I told you. I hope you're right and I'm wrong. But it's never failed yet. There's some family and some person or families or persons in this church right now. You won't be worth a lick for God. Some of you barely are right now. You're just barely hanging on. You're just half in and half out. But you're going to be completely out by this time next year. And it'll be something I said and those people down there and they didn't see about me when I need them. And that preacher, he's just so hard and he's just so mean and I just don't feel the love and I don't feel the spirit. You'll make every kind of excuse except for your cold, wicked heart. Amen. That's why you'll be out. It'll be everybody else's fault but yours. Amen. I hope that I'm wrong, but I won't be. I won't be. I've done this too much. Done it too long. One of y'all ain't going to be here. Some of y'all ain't going to be here. And some of y'all right now that like me or halfway like me, you're going to hate my guts by this time next year. And it won't be some kind of great infraction. It's just that you just didn't like the way I said something or the way I preached something or whatever. And it just rubbed you wrong because you are sitting in this church about half backslidden. And so anything I say is going to be taken like that. I'm trying to help you have a better year. And the thing you need to do is forget everything in the past. Forget the past. Number two, focus on the present. That's what he said there in verse number 13. Brethren, I count myself, not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. This one thing I do, that's present tense. He said, this one thing I do, that's right now. You see, you forget the past and you focus on the present. You ever notice some of those ways of the Bible phrases stuff? It says, today is the day of salvation. The Bible actually says, now is the acceptable time. Now, why do you think the Bible would phrase it like that? Why do you think the Bible would say, today's the day of salvation? Now is the acceptable time. Well, yesterday's gone. So you can't get saved from yesterday, and tomorrow may never come. What you got is right now. Listen, if you're sitting in here and you're lost right now and on your way to hell, the only chance you've got that you know you've got is right now to get saved. You may not wake up to see another day. And so we need to focus on the present. We don't get our mind back on all the failures we had last year and how pitiful we were. Put it under the blood and go on. We don't get our mind on what we did last year. I don't mean we're going to do anything for God this year. We just say, God, I don't have yesterday. And I don't know if I have tomorrow. You've given me this day. Where do I need to be with you right now today? What are you asking of me today? What do I need to focus on today? How do you want me to walk with you and be in fellowship with you? Today, right now, Where are you supposed to be in your Christian life right now? Let me ask you this, church. What is God dealing with you about right now? What is He telling you to do right now? Not tomorrow. Listen, we're going to look at the future here in a moment. That's my last point. Don't be worried about the future. What you going to do right now? You ever known anybody that's always talking about what they're going to do? They don't never do nothing. Boy, I'm going to do this, and I like to do that, and I tell you I'm going to do this, and I'm going to get around to this. And boy, I've been waiting to do this for years. Yeah, you're going to keep waiting. I know some. You ever known anybody to get 25 projects started at one time, just doop, and never finish one of them? You know what that is? That's a fellow daydreaming. That's a fellow looking out in the future and saying, this is what I want to do. Yeah, you used to focus in the future. You ain't no good for nobody right now. You looking in the future, man. Let me tell you something, sir. You may be dead and never complete one of those projects. Why don't you worry about what God wants you to do right now? Why don't you get plugged in right now? When I get this job situated, I'm going to get back in church. And when I get this thing over here, and when we get through the holidays, and then when this thing at work pans out, always making excuses, man. Why don't you do something right now today? Has anybody in here got the spiritual guts just to put it all on the altar today, come hell or high water, and just say, I don't give a rip what's happening in my life right now. I'm going to be right with God right now. Not wait until it gets better. It ain't never going to get better. It ain't no better to get right with God than right now. Right now is a good time to do it. What is God dealing with you about right now? Forget the past. Focus on the present. And then forge ahead. That's why he says, verse number 13, brethren, count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and what, church? Reaching forth unto those things which are before. He says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He said, I press toward the mark. He is reaching and pressing ahead. You know what you need to do? You and I need to figure out what we need to do right now and where we need to be right now, and then do it. I mean, get started. Do you know what I found out sometimes with projects is the hardest thing to do is get started. A lot of times once you get started, you'll get motivated and get to doing something. But it's hard to get started. You'll look in the past and say, man, I wish I hadn't let it get out of hand like it did. I wish I'd done this earlier. Or you'll look in the future and say, boy, I can't wait till this is done. Hey, man, neither one of them matters. Just get started. Just get started. Once you get started and just say, man, I'm living in the present tense right now. I'm not waiting another second. I'm not waiting another day. I'm going to get plugged in with God's help today. I'm going to start the new year off right. Then you can move ahead and forge ahead and press toward the mark. You know what you need? You need a spiritual vision. Now listen, you don't get the spiritual vision until you get your heart right now. You don't skip from the past to the future. You take care right now. But once you say, I'm in the will of God, I'm living in the present, I'm trying to do what He wants me to do right now, then you need to get a spiritual vision. You know, the Bible says, without a vision, the people perish. A church will die spiritually without a vision. And you as a Christian, you and I die spiritually without a vision. You know what we need in our life? We need some spiritual, long-term and short-term goals. There needs to be little things I want to see different in my life this year. And there need to be some big things. I just did an evaluation of my year that passed. And I spoke a little bit, I believe, about that last Sunday morning. And looking back at it, I think I did better in some areas, and I think I did worse in some areas. And there's one area sort of matches this scripture I've read this year this morning, where he says, this one thing I do. There's one area I've already started. Matter of fact, I started the day before New Year's. I started the last day of December. And I said, this one area in my life, I failed you last year, Lord. It was a disappointment. I'm getting started early, and I have intentions of starting right now and ending this thing up. My vision, my goal is to get to the end of this year, this next year, if I live and have done better in this particular thing than I did last year. Do you have any long-term spiritual goals? Do you have any short-term spiritual goals? Do you ever sit around and think about that and say, you know what? This is where I'd like to be in my Christian life by this time next year. And if I keep going the course and the Lord doesn't come back and I keep living, all that's in God's hands. But if I keep living, He doesn't come back. This is where I'd like to be in my spiritual life 6 months from now. This is where I'd like to be a year from now. This is where I'd like to be 2 years from now. There's nothing wrong with that as long as you're not getting out of the present, going in the future. Is stay in the present. Live for God right now. But think about where you want to be. We think about where we want to be for everything else. We never think about where we want to be for the Lord. And listen to me, why it's so important for you to think about where you want to be, because that's connected, and you need to be thinking about where you're going to be forever. How are you going to do at the judgment seat of Christ, Christian? Your eternal rewards. It's all about what you did for Him, not in your personal life. Why don't you pray and get excited this morning and say, God, help me. God, help me to go farther this year than I ever have for you, Lord. God, would you help me pray more this year? God, would you help me give more this year? And that's not just money, your time and your talents. God, would you help me read your Bible and study it more this year? Lord, would you help me serve more this year? For some of you, it'd be a great prayer, and if you mean it, say, God, help me to attend church more this year. God, help me to witness for you more this year. God, help me to love more this year. Now, we've not attained. This church hasn't. Your pastor hasn't. None of us as Christians. We haven't. And I'll tell you this right now, all of you ought to be able to amen this. There is much, much more this church can do. Amen. I'm going to raise my hand. I can't speak for you. I can only look at myself. There is much, much more this Christian can do. Amen. And should be doing. Now I want to end this message this morning by asking you a couple of questions, and that's going to be the end. Number one. Ask yourself this question. Do you want this church? Is it a burden or a concern to you this morning that this church get started right and end the year right? And number two, ask yourself this question. Is it a burden or a concern for you this morning that you as a Christian start off right? And if you're still here and the Lord hasn't returned and you haven't gone to meet Him, that you end this next year right? Then I tell you what you need to do. I tell you what I need to do. We need to forget yesterday. We need to find out what God wants us to do right now. And with the help of God, we then need to go full steam ahead. Every head bowed, every eye closed.